is a Woodside Church podcast.
So this morning we continue our series on the Holy Spirit. And very soon we'll go into communion. And I really feel that we need to spend good time in the presence of God this morning. Amen? So I'll go through the notes very quickly. And then we go into communion, and then we spend time in prayer together. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the love you have for us, that you came to die on the cross. You shed your blood so that we can stand before you fully justified. Thank you for the victory you won for us on the cross. And thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit. We pray that as we look into the truth of your word, you've already started working in us this morning, talking to us. May you come, Holy Spirit, and do your work amongst us. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Holy Spirit, today the title is The Fruit of the Holy Spirit. And before we go any further, I want to just highlight a few points that we need to be aware of. So the Holy Spirit and the child of God. The first point is that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us at the point of salvation. Amen? So when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there and then you received the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 to 14, it says that, and also you were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Amen? Amen. So when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to mark that, you received the Holy Spirit. Now, the second point is that the fruit of the Spirit, this Spirit that dwells in us, the fruit that it bears in us is that our character begins to be transformed. So when the Holy Spirit lives in us, character transformation happens. Things that you were not able to do before, now you are able to do because of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. The third point is that fruit comes from growth. You know, these days we have fast foods everywhere. Unfortunately, you can't have fast food with fruit. It needs to go to the ground, take water, and then grow gradually. It is a process. And again, we are talking of the fruit of the Spirit. It is the Spirit that brings forth this fruit, caused by the indwelling Spirit. It's not our own doing. It's not how hard we work. But it is the Spirit that lives in us. The fourth point is that we bear fruit when we cooperate and yield to the Spirit. So the Spirit is in us, but the Spirit needs our cooperation. If we don't yield to the Spirit, the fruit that we are talking of will not come to pass in our lives. And if you are not careful, we can quench or grieve the Spirit instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us. Now, I have a picture here of an orange and a melon. They are different types, two different kinds of fruits. And my favorite here is the orange. And if I say describe an orange, you can give me characteristics that makes the orange different from a melon. You can describe it. And that is exactly what we mean when we say the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What we are saying is that what are the characteristics of a spirit-filled life? That fruit is one. It didn't say the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It says the fruit. It's singular. This, an orange, you can't find a melon on an orange tree. An orange tree will always bear oranges. The Holy Spirit brings forth this fruit. So we are talking of the characteristics of this fruit. So let's read our focal text for today. Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 25. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. Debauchery refers to pleasures in this life. It could include sexual pleasures, bodily pleasures, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of anger, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified with the flesh and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So here we read about the acts of the flesh and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if you remember some of the characteristics, they're very, very different. The acts of the flesh, sexual immorality, fruit of the Spirit, peace, joy, forbearance, kindness, and so on. You see, it didn't say the fruit of the flesh. It says the acts of the flesh, and there's a difference there. You see, when you are born, the default state is that you will exhibit those acts of the flesh because you are born as a sinner. So it's the default state. That is the factory settings. We are not taught how to lie or how to do all those things. It's part of us because it's our nature at birth. For fruit needs to be cultivated. It needs to grow. And that is the difference. And friends, there are no neutral grounds here. You are either yielding to the Spirit and the Holy Spirit using you to bear fruit in your life, or you are yielding to the flesh. And we really need to examine ourselves. Where are we as Christians, as children of God? What are we yielding to? And what fruit is coming out of our life? Or have we gone back to the default settings? Have we gone to the factory settings? Or we are allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us? So we are going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. What are the characteristics of a Spirit-filled person? So let's cut into the orange and see what makes an orange orange. What makes the life of a Spirit-filled child of God? The first characteristic is love, agape love. This is not a feeling, but a choice. It is a choice to sacrifice, to consider others above ourselves. John 15, 12. Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." The second one is joy. Joy is a reaction to the work of the Holy Spirit in our life and to God's promises. And it's different from happiness because happiness depends on circumstances around. Joy is independent of circumstances. And someone, P. Austin, said that it is the evidence that the king is in residence. Amen? You have joy when you know that the King of Kings is resident in your life. It's not about what is around you, but it's because you know that the King of Kings is resident in your life. John 15, 11, it says, "I have told you this so that your joy may be, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." The third one is peace, is perfect contentment. And it is having the right relationship in every sphere of our lives. So it is having the right relationship upward, your relationship with your Father, your God, inward. How peaceful are you within yourself and outward? Philippians 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." And then Romans 12:18, it says that if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So there is upward, outward, inward. The next one is forbearance. That is patience, long temper, ability to endure pain and suffering without giving up. Romans 12:12, it says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." When we face difficult situations, how do we react? Are we able to endure? Are we able to go on? Or we give up? Those who are bearing the fruit of the Spirit have forbearance, patience. The next one is kindness. It means being tender, benevolent, and useful to others. I like that definition. Useful to others. How useful are you? Benevolent means the desire to do good. Ephesians 4:32, it says that be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Kindness and compassion, showing kindness to one another, being compassionate. When you are around people, do you bring good news or you bring bad news? Are you kind to people around you? Do people feel encouraged once they've left your presence or they go away discouraged? How useful can you be? The next one is goodness, and this is a virtue and holiness in action. This is active word. And what we do here is motivated by our righteousness and our desire to be a blessing. In John chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "I am the good shepherd." This is Jesus speaking here. "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Do you see what happened here? He says, "This is what I am. I am the good shepherd. What do? I lay down my life for others." So goodness is that virtue translating into action. And so when Jesus says he is a good shepherd, he actually put that into action by laying down his life for us. Galatians 6:10, it says that, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." Doing good can be very simple. Those little acts of kindness, those little things that by the Holy Spirit we are encouraged to do for one another. Faithfulness, it is the quality of reliability or trustworthiness, being utterly reliable in deed and words. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says that God, who has called you into his fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, is faithful. God himself is faithful. It is a characteristic that we take as children of God. Gentleness. Here is meekness. It's not about how weak or strong you are. It's humility, politeness, restrained behavior towards others. Philippians 4:5, it says that, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." The last one is self-control. It involves moderation and constraint, the ability to say no to the desires of the flesh in our lives. It is good news that when the Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives, he gives us self-control. So those things that we had no control over, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he gives us the ability to say no to those desires and those lusts. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, it says, "So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." So that is the characteristics of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This list is not exhaustive. We are just describing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If I say describe an orange fruit so that I can go to the supermarket and pick it, you are not going to be able to tell me all the descriptions of an orange fruit, but you can tell me enough that I can distinguish it from a melon. That is what is happening here. The Holy Spirit does more in our lives. So the question is, how do we bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit? 3 points here. The first one is that we need to stay connected to the source. John chapter 15, 4 and 8. It says, "Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So we bear fruit. First of all, it starts by inviting Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our lives. We cannot bear fruit on our own. As we saw in Galatians, what comes out of our flesh destroys, but it's Jesus who comes in and helps us to bear this fruit. Revelation 3:20 says that I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, he says, I will come in and dine with you. So there are two things here. The first one is there needs to be a closer relationship. I've not seen an orange fruit sitting somewhere on its own and disconnected from the tree. You cannot bear fruit that way. And I want us to consider the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus was passing through, and Zacchaeus, the tax collector, wanted. When you read Luke 19, he says that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. But Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus from a distance. And he was short, so he went to the tree so that he could see Jesus. All that Zacchaeus was interested in was to see Jesus from a distance. But then when Jesus saw Zacchaeus, he says, come down, Zacchaeus, for I must stay at your house. Friends, Jesus is calling us. He doesn't want us to be observing him from a distance. He's calling us into residence. He's calling us to dine with us. You see, remaining in him means dwelling. It's not about occasional visits. So you can't pop in and out. You bring all your possessions and dwell with him. We come to church sometimes, and if we are not careful, we become spectators. Like Zacchaeus on a tree, watching in to see what these lovely people are doing. But God wants to knock at the door this morning and say, I want to come into your life. I want to come and dine with you. I want to come and dwell in you. I want to come and help you to bear this fruit that we are talking about. The second point is that we need to deal with pests. We need to deal with sin. And where we read, the acts of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit, they are not compatible. You can't be bearing the fruit of the spirit and at the same time exhibiting those fleshly lusts. They don't go together. Galatians 5:17, it says, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So you are not able to do what you want. So that is the situation. We need to deal with sin in our lives. When God convicts us, and you see, because we are the children of God, when somebody is not a Christian and they are sinning, it's natural. That is who they are. But when you are a child of God and you sin, you get the conviction. You feel uncomfortable. That is the Holy Spirit in us convicting us to act on that sin in our lives. That is the difference. You see, when you look at the story of Zacchaeus, when Jesus came in, his attitude changed. Luke 19:8, it says that, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, here and now. Zacchaeus said, here and now, I give half of my possession to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody, about anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to seek the lost. Friends, when we want the fruit of the Holy Spirit to become evident in our lives, we first don't just want to see Jesus from the tree. We get down from the tree and come in and dine with him. And not only dine with him, as the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin in our lives, we take that action and work on that in our lives. Zacchaeus says, here and now. Pests can destroy fruits. It can prevent us from bearing fruit. The third one is that we stay continuously well nourished. And there's this picture that Ezekiel had. Ezekiel 47 verse 12. He says, fruits of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Amen? Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. So when water from the sanctuary flows into our life, we bear fruit. And when we say that we want God to fill us, we want the Holy Spirit to come and strengthen us, we are not saying we are receiving the Holy Spirit again. What we are saying is that God pours showers of blessings over our lives, that where there has been drought, they will begin to flourish again. It's like putting fertilizer so that you begin to grow again. It's like when the car cannot start and you need a jump start. The battery is there already. All you need is to connect to a stronger source so you can get going again. When we come to him and we say, God, fill us again, your Holy Spirit, that is what we mean. And so it's for us. The Holy Spirit is in us already. How active are we? I'll call the band up now as we get ready to go into communion. So, band, if you can please come and lead us in a song as we prepare to go into communion. When I was going through this list, I was of the fruits of the Spirit. I was convicted in many ways. I'm not perfect. Neither of us are perfect. And that is not the point. You see, we are going to heaven not because we are perfect, but because we have been forgiven. That is the reason why we are going to heaven. And all we need to do is to avail ourselves of the work that the Holy Spirit does.
You have been listening to a Woodside Church podcast. For more information, visit woodsidechurch.com.